It's time now for the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM. Now on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Song. That's how we start things out. Good morning and welcome to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM, AM and FM. I am your host, and I am glad that you joined us this morning as we are broadcasting today from Wallery's Premium Pizza over in West Salem, 1555 Edgewater Street Northwest, to be exact. And I am pleased to have as my special guest today a friend of mine that I've known for about 100 years. He's 100. I'm not. But he's been a radio legend in this town for a long time, Mr. Doc Nelson. Good morning.
Good morning again, Terry. It is nice to see you.
I'm telling you, it's a different radio station, different equipment, but we're back, right?
We are back, and it's nice because those call letters I know quite well.
That's exactly right.
I've written a few checks against that many, many years ago.
Well, you know what they say about disc jockeys, Doc? We never retire. We just change stations.
That's all you have to do.
And that's what we did here. We're so excited to be here with KSLM. But you have a history with KSLM, which we're going to get into a little bit throughout the morning this morning. But first of all, tell me a little bit about you. How did you get started in radio, and where and when?
Well, it was back in 1962. Now, that's... It'll date me a little bit.
I was
won't
in
it?
Diapers back then, I believe.
I think
still
I
am.
Should have been. I would say I've seen that before. And I started hanging around this radio station in town because I knew what I wanted to be when I grew up, and that was the fact that I wanted to get into radio. So I hung a lot around a station that was down at on High Street called KBZY back in 19.
What was it called?
Yeah, that was that station that you used to know about.
Yeah, I used to know something about that station. But they were down on High Street then?
They were at High Street, yeah, where the mall
they
is now.
Did have a big mirror or something?
We had a control room where we were on the second floor of the building, yeah. And a big mirror in front of us so you could see down on the street. So when the cars go by and they honk, you could say, hey, hi, Hong Hunker, or whatever, Hong Hunker, yeah, good radio. But anyway, they go, and you could see it, and they'd honk as they went by, and you could see them with this big mirror, and that's how it was from 1957 when that station particularly went on the air till early 60 when they moved out on South Commercial.
You can't do that anymore. You couldn't do that. Now, if you had that big mirror there, you'd be dodging drive-by shootings. You know, you just can't do that.
Oh, is that why you stay armed all the time?
That's exactly
that's
what
we do
is.
That. Yes.
All right, so you were there at KBZY for a while, and then you moved to where?
Well, then I went into what Uncle Sam's service called the United States Army, because I said, I'm going to be a disc jockey. And they go, you're going to be a communication specialist. Oh, I love this.
Oh, okay.
So all of a sudden, I go into the Army and find out that I needed a top secret clearance to be on radio.
Seriously?
Well, I ended up being a coding and decoding individual and stuck on the Aleutian Islands in Alaska. I got about as close to radio as, you know, I
could. It gets cold.
I couldn't
even
listen to him because there was no signal that far out on the islands.
Oh, man.
So I got out of the service, which was very important to me. And I decided to go into radio some way. So I went down to a place called Chris Borden School of Announcing in San Francisco, California.
Chris Borden's.
Yeah, it's no longer in business
either.
Who
was Chris Borden?
Now, I never met him.
Remember the Ron Bailey School of Broadcasting?
Same difference. Same guy. You never saw him, but
they
that was
cousins,
the name.
Chris and Ron.
It probably were.
Okay.
So I went down to there, and I took the class and immediately got a job at KMPX-FM in San Francisco.
Okay.
Now, this is a 100,000-watt FM station, underground rock. This is 1966,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
So you're dealing with the Rolling Stones. You're dealing with all of the stuff that was back in underground rock in the 60s.
Yeah.
I mean, I lived at Haight-Ashbury. That was a great street to you just go down and see what was going on. But anyway, I lived down there for 2 years. And then I said, you know what? I've been away from home for the 3 years in the Army, 2 years in radio in San Francisco, which I got a lot of experiences we can talk about a little bit later. But I said, I'm going home. Well, I immediately called up KBZY and said, hey, I'm coming. And at that time, they said, oh, we got a job for you coming out of San Francisco radio.
Right.
And I came up and found out that in 1966, I was making $800 a month.
Which is pretty good. Yeah.
Very good in San Francisco.
Yeah.
I got a peer and pay was $325 a month.
That much?
Hello.
Now.
Yes.
So now, when I was there, that was pretty much the pay.
Yeah. So I said, I can't do that. So I went to a station called KGAY at the time.
Yeah.
And it was country.
Okay.
Well, I would turn a radio off before I would listen to country, but I actually spent many years at that time, the country station, and all of a sudden got the chance to go to Crow Radio in Dallas, Oregon.
Okay.
And it was an oldies station. And this was 1972, as I recall, and spent several years there, and then got the job at KBZY to go back. Now, this is my second time.
Okay, and what were you doing there
at
KBZY the second time around?
Then I got on the air at that time I was doing, I believe, middays, which was like, you know, 10 to 2.
Right.
And then all of a sudden got moved to mornings.
Right.
And I stayed in mornings almost my entire radio career. Yeah.
Okay.
And
now when did you leave KBZY? And where did you go?
Oh, man. I got hauled away. I got taken away by KSLM. They made an offer to me to
KSLM.
And to make an offer to go over there and do mornings there.
Yeah.
And so I went to work it was probably, as I recall, I had to look when I bought the station, was 90, I had to go, but early 80s, mid-80s.
Okay. And what was the format at that time?
Oldies.
Oldies music?
Yeah.
And 50s and 60s?
50s and 60s, and I became the program director, a music director, I guess, first. And this is the place that also had KSKD, which was the FM station, which was a hard rocker. In town. We had the two stations.
Where was the studios located?
We were up top of the hill at West Hills Way up by the water tank up in West Salem.
Okay. And that's where the transmitter was?
That's where the transmitter was,
as well
the
as
stick
the
was, and the studios.
Okay.
It was very first cabin that we had it up there.
So how long were you there?
I was there until about, I'm trying to figure when the heck it was when I bought it, 89 or 90. I'd have to go back and look. And I left radio for a while and went into retail. I opened my own men's store.
Oh, really?
For a couple of years, and that's just not what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted back in radio, so I sold the men's stores and happened to get a job back. Guess where?
KSLM.
Hello there. And so I went back with them, and then I got a call from a man by the name of Mike who called and said, hey, you want to do mornings at KBZY? So he hired me away from KSLM to go back to KBZY
Can't stay in one spot, can you?
It's radio. Of course it is.
Man.
So I spent a number of years, and then all of a sudden found out that KSLM was for sale. I don't eat mushrooms.
We are broadcasting live from Wallaby's Pizza.
Don't eat mushrooms.
I'm telling you, this is the lunch crowd.
Well, I found out the station was for sale, and so I got three other gentlemen with me, and we bought KSLM.
Oh, nice.
So that's kind of my radio career right there.
So you owned a radio station.
Yeah, that was an exciting time of my life.
How long did you have it?
I had the radio station. Our particular group had it. I think we had it for 5 years, and then my partners decided that they'd like to sell. And I said, no, I don't want to sell. They had three votes.
Uh-oh.
I had one. And at the same time, at that time, my wife died.
Oh,
I lost my wife to cancer, and this was 94.
Okay.
So I lost the radio station and wife all in 1 year. It was a very exciting time of my life.
Ouch.
So I kind of got away from radio for
a
while.
Did you think at that point you were done with radio?
Yeah. I kind of almost, as you know, you can get burned out in this business.
Yeah.
I think the hardest thing that I ever learned in radio was it's not so much of the job as the pressure of being happy all of the time. When you open that mic, you don't have a care in the world.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
You shut that mic off and walk out of the studio, you can be an individual again and enjoy life. But under radio,
it doesn't matter if you just got served divorce papers, they just repossessed your entire family. It doesn't matter. Once you click that mic on, you better be at the top of your game.
Exactly. So I had kind of got burned out and went to work for the cable company for a little while.
Yeah.
In sales. And that, again, was not my forte. And guess who called?
There you go.
Here comes KBZY calling once again. Hey, how would you like to come and do some afternoons with us?
Right.
So I said, you know what, that would be kind of fun. So I went back doing afternoons with KBZY.
Well, that's when I first met you.
Yeah, it's when you and I first got together.
I was doing middays over there,
that's
and you were
right.
doing afternoons.
I was doing afternoons. And then
did
there
you
was
get fired from them? I know I did.
No, they didn't fire me at the time, but they did fire the morning man and said, guess what, next morning you're on mornings again. And
no, see, that's not fun doing mornings because you got to get up at what? What time were you getting up?
3:45.
Oh, now I get up at 3:45 now, but it's usually to go to the bathroom.
And you go back to bed, don't you?
Right back to bed.
Now, 3:45 and hit the station at 5. And it was, back to mornings. And that's where I stayed until I retired in 2007.
Right.
That's when I went to work for the Marion County Sheriff.
Wow.
And I spent 7 years in the sheriff's office.
But yet you still came over and did commercials from time to time.
I'd come in and do commercials.
Are you still doing that now?
I haven't done a public service announcement or a commercial since you and I did the last one together, which would have been, 2 years? How long have you been gone?
Yeah. Mine's just a little over a year.
Okay, then that was the last time I did one. So I have not been in the studios there.
With the remaining couple of minutes we have left there, let's talk a little about some of the things that your career in radio, you actually introduced four guys down in Candlestick Park in San Francisco. I don't know if people even remember who they were. One of his name was John and
Paul. I think there was a Polly or something like that.
And Bingo or something like that.
Bingo, yeah. I was working at the KMPX-FM at the time.
Yeah.
And got the job of emceeing the 1966 Teenage World's Fair, which was at the Cow Palace.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I'm doing the main stage, and we've got Jefferson Airplane. That was before they were the Starship.
Right.
And a lot of the record stars, I should say, in the 60s. And all of a sudden, a guy walks in. I said, that looks like Ringo. So, it was the day, weekend that the Beatles were playing Candlestick.
Okay.
So I walked over and I said, Yuri, he's nah. And he pulls out this piece of paper, newspaper article, and said, look alike. You know, as a Beatle, was mobbed as a Beatle. I'm not. He said, really, I'm not. But we hung around a little while, and I was showing him the area of the, because we had five stages in the Cow Palace doing this Teenage World's Fair. I said, I got to go home because I'm emceeing that night the actual pageant with Jimmy Rogers of Honeycomb fame and all that.
Right.
And he said, well, I'd like to see some of San Francisco. Can you take me? Well, I'm not sure I'm going to do that. And he said, really, I'm Ringo. I said,
okay,
yeah, right.
Get the car.
Yeah. He said, really? I said, yeah, I want to see that. He pulled out his driver's license, and it was Richard Starkey.
Really?
So we spent the afternoon together. And he says, come on back to the thing. He says, you can come and do the concert with me tonight. And I got to help MC the Beatles' final concert at Candlestick Park in 1966.
That was their final show
live
as a group,
except
right?
when they did the thing on Apple Records, when they did on the roof atop. But that was it.
Wow. Hey, we've been talking with Doc Nelson. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more with Doc Nelson as we continue to broadcast from Wallery's Premium Pizza. You are listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to the Terry Saul Show. It's easy for me to say.
I was
until I've been on a radio for a while.
Is that
the Terry Saul Show? Try saying that real fast.
Yeah,
I can't even say it slow. Our guest today is Doc Nelson. We are broadcasting today from Wallery's Premium Pizza here in West Salem. Do you know that this place used to have a pizza called the KSLM Special?
I do.
I bet you didn't know what came with it.
We had Canadian bacon, as I recall, and pepperoni and beef. And I know we had some onions and pepperonis, but no mushrooms because I don't eat mushrooms.
Now, did you see? I love mushrooms.
Oh, mushrooms suck.
You notice the big sign on the other side of the facility here? I mean, if you look around this pizza parlor, there are just literally hundreds of 45 records.
I know, I hung them.
Did you?
Yeah, Dave Wallery and I got those from the radio station when we stopped using 45s and hung them all on the ceiling.
I mean, there's a couple hundred of them. Do you know how many there are?
I did. It was 1,100 and something.
Seriously?
I can't remember the exact total because we had a contest.
Yeah.
And then we gave
count
away
the records.
Count the records and give us the count and you'd win this big prize. But they had the picture.
That picture over there. Tell me about that picture. It's a beautiful picture.
We had needed a logo for the station. So we got a hold of a gentleman artist and he drew this KSLM poster, which is basically an old 57 Chevrolet convertible heading up to Popcorn Hill, which was a local...
Popcorn Hill?
Yeah, it's a local parking area where you go watch the lights.
Yeah, sure you do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But anyway, so we got that, and when we sold the station, I gave that picture to Dave Wallery. I said, I want that to stay here in West Salem and represent the station, because at that time, it meant a lot to me, so I hung it up. We hung it up on the wall, and it's been there since 1995.
Really? Beautiful picture there. And if you get a chance, come on by Wallery's.
I have the little one at home, but I gave him the big one.
Really?
I didn't have a place for that
you
one.
Didn't tell him that?
No.
Our guest is Doc Nelson, and we were talking a little bit about some of the places that you've performed as well, like Candlestick Park for opening for the Beatles there. But you've also done some stuff up here in Oregon at the State Fair.
I was fortunate enough to MC the Oregon State Fair for 11 years, the main stage. So I got to meet an awful lot of entertainers at the particular time. I mean, we worked with Johnny Cash, and we worked with John Denver, and we worked with Dolly Parton, which was an experience. She is a kick.
She's incredible.
A lot of the entertainers were really fun to work with, and a lot of them were just, as you know, you've been on stage in Vegas with your act and doing with Donnie and Marie. Unfortunately, there are some that just aren't a lot of fun to work with.
Yeah.
I can only say that a couple of them were bad. Most country artists were probably the most fun to work with.
Now, see, mine was the opposite.
Yeah.
Kelly Pickler, I worked with her one time. That's enough.
Oh, I can see the Osmond Brothers were fun.
Oh, they're incredible.
Oh, they were delightful people to do that.
Marie threw a shoe at me.
I also saw the lipstick on your, the kiss on your forehead with the lipstick.
She's a sweetheart.
Isn't she just?
She's a little sweetheart.
But again,
you make her mad, then she throws her shoe at you.
I can imagine you, knowing you back there, what you did. But anyway, so you meet all these entertainers. The nice thing about it is if you meet the Beatles down. I never got to work with Elvis. That's the one performer I never got to work with. But I never really got starstruck, as you would say, by these entertainers, because they're normal people. You're in the entertainment business. They're in the entertainment business. But once.
One time,
I actually got starstruck, and I just couldn't do anything
male
right.
Male or female?
It was a female, of course.
Yeah.
And I knew her entertainment record from about 1955 on.
Wait a minute, let me guess. Nanette Fabre.
Yeah, well, no, but Annette's part right. I got to do a show with Frankie Avalon and Annette Bunicello. And she just got before you. Annette did me. I was a little bit,
she was
really
America's
hard.
She sweetheart.
Oh, I mean, you grew up with her.
Yeah.
And to have the opportunity, and I've got a picture with my arm around her waist, you know, so I've, you know, kind of, that was the only performer, I'd say, of all my career that I, that really got me tongue-tied. She was a delightful lady. And this is just before she came out that she had MS. And we had her at the Oregon State Fair, and it was just, we had Frankie and her and Dodie Stevens, who did Pink Shoelaces. But it was just, it was an experience that I'll never forget.
Nice. And you also had an experience with, Tanya Tucker.
Yes, Tanya Tucker.
Right before you were to take a picture or something?
No, we were backstage in the LBD Amphitheater, kind of had a half circle backstage. You had to go to the dressing rooms and the restaurant part of the stage. And she and I are by the water cooler. And I said, boy, I said, she just had her baby Presley at the time. Presley was 6 months old, and she had a nanny with her.
Okay.
And I said, geez, Tanya, I said, that's got to be tough being back out on the road after having the baby. And she said, no, not as bad as the boob job I just had. What do you think? And I had to agree, it was a very nice job.
She lifted her top and she...
Hello.
Kind of like reverse mooned you?
Yeah, it was a reverse moon. Very good. But delightful lady. Delightful lady. But you got to realize, if you hear back at some of the stories of she and Glenn Campbell, and she was a pretty hard individual, but I enjoyed working with her. But again, that was a time I also worked with Ed Doherty.
Now, how did that come about?
Well, Ed and I kind of got into it when he started hiring acts and being a promoter. I was at the radio station, so I used to do a lot of emceeing work at the Armory for Ed, and of course at the Oregon State Fair. He was the stage manager; I was the MC. So we got really close in there, and I've got shows, you know, from anywhere with Paul Revere and the Raiders to everybody that Ed would bring to town. So it was
Ed was a promoter that, I mean, his home, I went in there a few times, was like a museum. I mean, he had pictures of him and Sinatra and Elvis, and I mean, I was doing an interview with Donny Osmond one time, and I mentioned Ed, and he goes, oh, Uncle Ed, yeah, tell him hello for me.
Yeah.
I mean, he knew everybody, and Ed was never intimidated by any of them.
No. Now, he even had Bob Hope. We did a show. Bob Hope came in and did a show for Oregon State. Here's Ed and Hope talking just like you and I do. Yeah. Nothing to it. Delightful man. But you didn't cross Ed. And maybe in the next segment, we can talk about a little story that I knew about Ed with a man called MC Hammer that we had at the Oregon State Fair.
Okay.
So
my story that Ed told me one time was Neil Diamond showed up 15 minutes late, and Neil walked up and says, hey, Ed, I'm here. And Ed looked at his watch and says, you're 15 minutes late, now get your, and then he said backside, up on that stage. And Neil turned around and went up on stage.
Chuck Berry would not. It was a tough one to work with.
They pulled the plug on him, didn't they?
Yes, sir.
All right, on our next segment, we'll get into a little bit about that. We need to take a short break right now. When we come back, more with today's guest, Doc Nelson. We're broadcasting live from Wallery's Premium Pizza, easy for me to say, over West Salem. And why is it when you come around, I get tongue-tied? I can't talk.
We did that back when we worked together.
I'm telling you.
We get on stage.
Forget it.
Yeah.
We are broadcasting on Salem's original radio station, KSLM, AM, and FM. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Terry Saul's Saturday morning show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host, and I am so glad that you joined us this morning. My special guest is a good friend of mine, Doc Nelson, who has been in radio forever, it seems like. Good morning, sir, once again.
Good morning again, Terry. It's nice to be with you. I miss the days that we could just kind of do our own thing on the air. And I remember the time that you and I, we emceed what was called the Rat Pack with your late brother.
Yes, that was fun.
That was fun down at the Elsinore. So
that
we've worked together a long time.
Yeah, we certainly have. And we've done a few things that we think, why did we do that?
Yeah. You know? You do crazy thing in this business.
And then you open up your wallet and you go, well, that's why we did that. So do you think you'll ever retire completely from radio?
I don't think so. I mean, I knew when I was 13 years old what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a studio built in my garage.
Really?
Yeah. You know, you have garage bands, and I was in one of those, too. That's another story. But, yeah, I'd actually set up the turntables and practice, and I'd take my tapes down. That's how I started working with KBZY when I was a junior in high school.
Right.
Because they would critique my tapes and tell me what I was doing right and what I was doing wrong.
I used to do that when you were on the air.
Yeah, I would hear you as my boss would say, can you say that? I said, I'm sorry. Do we do something different? But, yeah, nope. But that got us into the fact of working in different areas with different people around, which we were talking about, Ed.
Right. So Ed Doherty, he was a promoter's either nightmare or best friend.
Right.
I mean, he would bring them all in. And like I say, when I went over to his house one day and we were talking about him, he showed me the gold cigarette lighter that Elvis gave him.
And the jacket.
The beautiful jacket.
Beautiful jacket.
And, you know, he had these pictures with Sinatra and Bob Hope, like we said. Did you ever get a chance to see any of that up close and personal?
Oh, I was at Ed's house, and I wore the Elvis jacket to two different concerts I did for him. He let me wear it to do things. And, Ed was a very generous gentleman. I miss him. We lost him here about a year or so ago. Yeah. But he would do anything. But you also remember that Ed was a perfectionist. He was, you know, you paid money to go see these acts. You're going to see what you paid for. And he made sure the acts did it because you didn't cross Ed.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, he originally started, he was a school teacher.
Yes.
And he originally started at the
Is it
auditorium?
The middle?
Is that
he started
auditorium?
At the Armory is where he was bringing him in. In fact, he was the one that really got Paul Revere and the Raiders going. First time Paul Revere and the Raiders ever appeared on stage, Ed went out and rented their equipment and their outfits. Yeah.
Really?
Which is what really got Paul into that kind of
He told me a story one time, Ed did, that for I believe it was probably that particular show, that the Armory Auditorium, I don't know the exact numbers, but were only allowed to have so many people in there.
3,500.
Okay, and the fire marshal came in and said, there's more than 3,500. And Ed said, no, there's not.
Yeah.
And I go, Ed, how many were in there? He goes, about 4,000, 5,000.
Same thing happened when we had the Smothers Brothers at the LBJ Amphitheater, which sat, I think it's 9,500.
Okay.
And the fire marshal, I mean, the Smothers Brothers had them sitting in the aisles. You couldn't even walk up all the aisles, all the way to the very top. And the fire marshal came in and said, Ed, he said, there's more than 9,000 people in here. Well, we knew there was 11,500.
Oh.
And he goes, and Ed says, no, same kind of story. No, there's only about, you know, 8,000, 9,000 in here. And the fire marshal says, I'm retiring in 30 days. Goodbye, Ed.
Yeah, that was Ed.
That was Ed.
There's a story about Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
What happened with
Chuck Berry? I don't know so much with Chuck, but Chuck was one of these people that when he got up to do his, he always wanted to be the final act.
Okay.
Always wanted. The only one that ever gave him a bad time was Jerry Lee Lewis. Jerry Lee Lewis and he did not get along when it on stage. But anyway, yeah. One time we were doing a show and Ed says, okay, you're on. And Chuck Berry says, I think I need another $5,000.
Uh-oh.
Or I'm not going out.
Uh-oh.
Now, you've got yourself a full audience, and you know Chuck Berry's a headliner.
Yeah.
And Ed goes, okay. Ed would take care of the audience. They paid to see him. And he said, okay. He caved into it. He says,
really?
But he says, you're never going to work for me again.
Now, Ed controlled the whole West Coast.
Yeah.
I mean, he even did, well Alaska, Colorado.
When we'd book the Oregon State Fair, these entertainers would come from Alaska to Idaho, from Idaho to the Salem
So it was all part
fair.
Of the route.
It was a route, and he was the one that would book these people and get them on this route, and he'd get them to each of these fairs. So he was booking all of these people down the West Coast.
Wow.
That's how strong Ed was as a promoter.
He told me that in that particular show with Chuck Berry, that there is a time restraint that they have to be off the stage, too. And I know from doing my stuff in Las Vegas that when they tell you get off, you better get off.
Right.
Because otherwise Guido's waiting around back with a baseball bat.
Mm-hmm.
But they told Chuck Berry, wrap it up. And he said, nah, not quite ready yet. And he kept going and going. And finally, Ed walked over and either threatened to pull the plug or pulled the plug.
Yeah, I heard that story. I wasn't at that performance, but that's exactly he did. He would have done it. We had the Letterman and the Diamonds at the State Fair, and the Diamonds wouldn't get off stage. And he looked at me, he says, pull their plug. I said, yeah, right. He says, I said, pull their plug.
Serious?
And I walked over to it, and I had my hand on the plug, and I looked at the lead singer, and he looked at me, and he goes, thank you very much, folks. You've been a great audience. And I brought the Letterman, because you have a time limit, because they closed the fair.
Right.
But I think the greatest story that I ever had with Ed Doherty was the time we had MC Hammer at the Oregon State Fair. You know as well as I do, there's a noise limit that you can have, especially on an outdoor stage,
right.
is what we had.
Right.
And so we were giving his manager the rules of what the limit was for volume. And MC happened to walk up, and he said, well, what happens if I'm louder? Well, the guy from the state says, well, we fine you. He says, okay, who do I make the check out to?
Uh-oh.
And the guy said, well, you make it out. And he says, that's the first time. He says, what happens if I go again? Ed says, we pull your plug. MC went on, did 45 minutes, walked off the stage, didn't say word one to anybody, and left the fairgrounds.
Really?
Yep. That's how strong Ed was. He said, we'll pull your plug.
Wow.
We'll fine you the first time, but the second time, we pull your plug. And he did. He did the 45 minutes and left. And he kept his noise level at that one.
At the right where it needed to be.
But yeah, again, he didn't mess with Ed.
The story that I remember about him was one that Donny Osmond was telling me one night, that the Osmond brothers were a favorite of Ed's. He liked
to go
in there and they performed there. And after his show, they were heading back to the hotel there. You know, I'm going with this one.
I know you're going this because the man driving was named Tim Ream,
go ahead. And I guess that one of the brothers wanted to stop at a convenience store or something.
Before they got the freeway.
And Tim was saying, no, we really can't do it. I've been told by Ed, take you back to... And they persuaded Tim by saying, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And so Tim stopped, and it turned into a nightmare. What happened?
Well, they go in. First one's going in to get him something to eat before, because they were staying in Portland. They weren't staying in Salem and had to catch a plane. So Tim, he says, all of a sudden, this van that they're taking in a van, all the doors open, and the whole Osmond, Donnie's not with him at the time, or Murray. This is just the brothers. And they went into the 7-Eleven, and all this... But all of a sudden, you could see people just coming out in just awe. They couldn't talk. They said, do you know who's in there? Do you know who's in there? And they're just buying their stuff like everybody else. And then they started signing autographs. And just, they were that, you know, they're fun to work with, guys. They really were.
Ed told me that he got a phone call saying that the Osmonds can't get out of that particular convenience store.
Yeah.
So he called Salem Police and said, would you go over there and get the Osmonds out? And they're going, excuse me, who? You know, like, what's going on?
Oh, yeah.
But he was a character. The last time I saw Ed Doherty, I went and saw him in the hospital the night before he passed. And right up to the last minute, we were talking a little bit. And I said, Ed, you know, how are you doing? Are you okay and everything like that? And he goes, listen, come closer. So I get real close. I go, what's the matter? He goes, I want you to go out there and make sure that the Kingsman show next week is a success.
Which you and I did.
Yes.
You and I did
and
the
it's
Kingsman
like right
show.
Right up to his last breath,
he was
still
a promoter.
Promoting.
Yeah. We had the Everly Brothers at the fair. And Ed had a booth. This is when we still had horse racing. And Ed had his own booth there. And he says, Doc, I want you to take the Everly Brothers over and let them play some races. Me? I'm not secret. He says, take them over there, put them in my booth. So I took the two Everly Brothers over, and we sat for the afternoon with the races. And Phil Everly just loved Pronto Pups.
Really?
So he'd have Pronto Pups and white wine. But people would come up to the booth, and they would sign every autograph that anybody ever wanted.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Paul Revere and the Raiders. Paul's rule, and Ed taught him this, was after the show, you sit your butt down on that stage, and you do autographs until the last person wants one, and then you can go.
Really?
And that was Ed's rule.
Yeah.
And that's what Paul learned. So they would all do that.
A lot of the performers nowadays still do that. I mean, there's a lot of them. The Osmonds are great at signing autographs.
I'll bet you.
Even my buddy Louis Anderson, his meet and greets, it's kind of interesting because the people will come through there that pay for the meet and greet, and then he'll lean over to somebody and say, how many are still outside? About 60 or 70. Bring them in. Bring them through.
Yeah, isn't it?
And just, you know, because I guess the thought is that those are the people that are buying your tickets for your show. Those are the people that are buying your CDs and stuff. You got to take care of your fans.
Yeah, you've got. And that's why I said Ed was always on the fans. The entertainers knew you don't mess with Ed. You do what he says.
Yeah.
But as those people paid for a ticket, Ed's going to make sure they have a show.
Now, you did shows with, everybody, the who's who that came through at that time. John Denver?
I did Johnny when he was there.
He was a tall boy. Everybody always thought John Denver was short.
Yeah, I got a picture, and he's about I'm only 5'8", and John was about a half a head taller than I was.
Yeah.
But it was funny. I was with Dolly Parton. I'll do this one quick. Dolly and I are backstage, and we're having pictures taken. And I had my hand around Dolly's waist, my arm, and she's got this corset on. And, I mean, it's just like it's like steel.
Right.
And I said, Dolly, that's got to be uncomfortable. And she said, only way I can keep these puppies up. great entertainers you had to work with.
Who was your favorite? Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, I would have to say Annette was my very, very favorite performer that ever. I had a crush on her. Yeah, I would say.
Yeah.
Again, country-wise, I would say the number one performer I ever worked with was Mickey Gilley.
Yeah.
We had a studio set up right by the stage, and all of a sudden the door opens one day, and in walks in. He says, hey, I'm Mickey Gilley. He says, let's talk. And he put his feet up on the desk, and we sat there for an hour and a half just doing nothing but talking about Gillies and all that. Yeah.
Wow. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back in just a moment. We're broadcasting live from Wallery's Premium Pizza over here on Edgewater in West Salem. You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM with our special guest, Doc Nusson. We'll be right back. Welcome back to our final few minutes this morning. We are broadcasting live from Wallery's Premium Pizza, located at 1555 Edgewater Street Northwest. Have you eaten here before? Well, Dave Wallery very well.
Dave and I go back 25 years or better together. Yeah.
Didn't you meet your wife here or something?
She was working here back in 1994, and Dave introduced me to my wife. Yeah, we've been married 23 years next month.
Well, good. There you go. And she's ready to retire now?
She's retiring from Salem Hospital in, I think, 68 days. And she's giving the day count every day.
If she's retiring, that means she's going to be home. Are you ready to get back in the business?
Yes. Is that fast enough? Yes. You miss it, Terry. I do. Yeah. I miss the music end of it. Down on the Boondocks is playing right now because Dave runs Oldies Music through here, which is what we did when I helped him put the records up and everything.
Right.
Because he used to come in and do the cruising show with me on KSLM a lot, and we did that 8 to midnight.
What was that? The cruising show? That was on KSLM?
On KSLM.
What was that?
KSLM started back in 1934, mind you.
Whoa.
And it started above what is now, what has been for a long time, the Court Street Dairy Lunch, right abovehand. And they did live music.
Okay.
That's what KSLM did. They were a 100,000-watt, believe it or not, back then, radio station on Court Street.
Okay.
And it was all entertainers. They didn't really play records. It was entertainers would come in and sing and do their things over limited times. Yeah. So, and again, I go back that in 1988, I got a group together, and we purchased the station. And I immediately kept the gold format, but I added a lot of different type of shows that we do. And one of them was the Cruisin' Show, which was a song. It was a show we did from 8 to midnight every Saturday night and take requests.
Was it live? Did you do it live?
It was live. Oh, yes. We did it live because we would let people call in with a request. Hey, this is Bob. I don't want to play one for Mary.
Yeah,
and I want to hear, you're my girl.
Right.
And so we would play those, and we'd tape them back so they'd hear themselves on the air. And then we'd even get letters from the Oregon State Penitentiary because they couldn't call in, and we'd get dedications from them. We'd have to make sure we said the song, and we'd play that. Yeah.
Really?
And so that show, it was sold out constantly.
Yeah.
That was the one thing I have to say. And owning a radio station, that's where you make your money, was commercials. And we had them lined up. Whenever a sponsor would ever not renew, we always had a backup for them because it was that popular of a show.
Now,
it was unreal.
How long did you do that?
All the years I was there, 88 to 94.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did that
now
show.
You've done a couple of those since then, though, too, haven't you?
No, I have not done at anything. You and I, I think we did a few little things at KBZY when we were there that we did some special things. And we remember going out in the public.
You remember the one that we did? You and I were doing, I don't remember what it was. It was some show someplace, and they asked us to play the music. And we were sitting there, and we were playing the music, and all of a sudden, these drunk girls came in and grabbed my jacket and put my jacket on and got out there on the dance floor wearing my brand new KBZY jacket. And she's dancing around, and it's like, and you looked at me, and you go, go get it. And I go, I don't want
I'm not going out there.
I think she might be able to hurt me.
Oh.
But I mean, have you ever had any experiences where people have come up to you and said, I know that I saw your name one time on a Wendy's sign. This is Happy Birthday,
oh, yeah.
Doc Nelson.
When I first went back, when I was hired to go back and do mornings at KBCY, I was on just about 90% of the billboards in the city of Salem. Doc is back. And that's all
yeah.
it said
yeah.
in KBCY. And that was something Mike Kern, who was the one
right.
that got me to go, he was a partner with Roy Dittman. I was in all these billboards. It was just, you know, geez.
Do you ever listen to any of your old tapes at all?
No.
Did you save any of your tapes?
The only one I saved was an interview, and I never met the man, but I did an interview, which is something I prize as the best interview or my favorite interview I've ever done my entire life, and I interviewed Roy Rogers on his 80th birthday.
Seriously?
That tape I kept. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I kept that tape with doing Roy, and he invited me down to come down.
Palm Springs in that area. Don't they live in Palmdale? It was
down in California, and it was down in Apple Valley in the area. But yeah, he invited me to come down, and he said, I'll take you to lunch and all that. Unfortunately, he didn't live. I never got down before Roy died. But that
wow.
was probably the only interview that I say I kept that was my prize. Because I grew up with, you know, somehow my dad got a picture of Roy, autographed picture of Roy, sent me on my like sixth birthday.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was
I got my son on his fourth or fifth birthday an autographed picture of Tony Danza.
Oh.
And to this day, he still has that
yeah.
picture of Tony framed in his little man cave. And I said, like, Ryan, you know, he's 90 years old now. It doesn't matter, Dad.
It's funny the people you meet, and again, the ones that you really enjoy and remember a lot of, and the ones you don't remember of. But I miss the standpoint of working with a lot of the entertainers, but I do miss getting on the air and
yeah.
playing with people's emotions. And that's what the Cruising Show was. We would play with people's emotions
sure.
because they would call up for a song. Oh, I haven't heard that since I was, you know, back dating Susie May.
Right.
And, you know, we were sitting at Popcorn Hill. And so I miss that point. I love to play with people's emotions like that with music.
When you were doing stuff live on stage, did you ever get nervous?
No.
Did you ever have stage fright?
No.
See, I
people
do.
Said,
even
did the
to this
Beatles,
day, I still do.
Yeah, I know you do, and we've talked about that.
Yeah.
They said, well, you did the Beatles. Didn't that make you nervous? No, because they couldn't hear a doggone word I was saying. They were screaming so loud, they didn't know what I was doing.
So let's go back with the couple of minutes we have left. Go back to that show. You're at Candlestick Park.
Mm-hmm.
You're out on the field.
Mm-hmm.
They only performed for, like, what, 20 minutes or something?
Yeah,
it was not a long show.
No, it was about a 35-minute show. And, again, you couldn't hear them at all.
The PA sound that they had was horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It was not a good sound system. But again, who knew? Because they couldn't hear a word they're saying. And the guys, when they came off, said, this is not what we want to do.
Really?
Yeah. I said, it's one thing to do live shows, but they'd been doing it for what? You know, since 65.
Right.
Or, I mean,
64.
When they came four. Actually performing. And that was it. They said, this isn't fun anymore. This is not fun anymore. I was glad to see that Ringo just got knighted.
Yeah.
You know, Paul's
yeah,
knighted,
yeah.
and of
yeah.
course, we've lost the other two. But
so
he was so down to earth.
Did you know that at that time that they were probably going to split up?
No. I had no idea.
I wonder if they even knew at that
point. I don't
point.
Know. I know they were really, after that particular performance, that was just, they were not happy. Again, because you just couldn't hear a thing.
Wow.
No, couldn't
now,
hear a thing.
Do you have any recording or video of that? I mean,
no.
You opened the door for the Beatles, for crying out loud. Did
no.
you save any of that stuff?
No. Again.
I just saved the Coke cup they gave me. I mean, you kidding me?
You know, you've been in this business long enough. It's just something that's part of your job. If
yeah.
you go to the point where you're that, I don't want to say that you're, I don't know, special because you get to see these people. It's your job.
Right.
And
right.
I never took it as the fact that, hey, these guys are better than me. They're the same as, you know, they're the same. They're doing a job. You're doing a job. And except for Annette. And that picture I'll never lose. But really, no, I don't get nervous. My wife does not like to get in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind getting up in front of people. You're going to make mistakes, and that's
sure.
funny. I've got a recording that they used to do, that the sound man would do when I get up on stage at the state fair, and he'd change my voice. And I never knew what he was going to do.
Right.
But that was the
right.
fun part of this business. When you're an entertainer, and you are on a small scale compared to what movie stars
sure,
and all that,
sure.
but you are an entertainer. The first time you ever get asked for an autograph is the most humbling thing
you don't
that
know
will
what
ever
to sign.
Happen.
You
yeah.
don't know what to sign.
It just one time I was doing came up and said, would you sign it? Can you give me your autograph? Oh, yeah, but I've been doing it for a while, and I did this autograph, and I look at it, and he says, oh, you're not Dave Allen, the guy I used to work with, and he had set me up.
Yeah.
Again, so that's part of this business, and you and I both know that it's a fun thing to do. Not everybody gets to do it.
That's for sure.
But it was. I'll never want to say.
Hey,
we are
just about out of time. Would you do me a favor? Will you come back and do this again? We have so many more stories that we can talk about, and it's just been this hour went by too fast.
Be more than happy, and I'm sure the check will clear at any time.
Oh, were we supposed to pay you for that? I'll tell you what. Instead of paying you, we'll buy you a pizza here from Wallery's Premium Pizza. Should we go for this KSLM special that they have here?
There's no mushrooms on it. It's okay.
Works for me. Again, we're broadcasting.
I'm happy to. Happy any time you want me. You just call Terry. I'll be there.
Well, we are just about out of time this morning. I'd like to thank our host, Wallery's Premium Pizza, for allowing us to broadcast here this morning. Hey, if you would like us to come down to your business for a broadcast, drop us a line at terry@1220.am or catch me on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Terry Saul. Boy, that's a mouthful.
That is a mouthful.
Jeez.
God, you're big.
A big thank you to our guest, Doc Nelson. And we will be back and do this all over again next week on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. Have a great and safe week. Today's show was produced by Leon J. Tacky. And it goes without saying, this has been a Tacky production. Be safe.